My name is Amber Yust. I work on privacy at Google. Sorry, one sec. I have to say that again. My name is Amber Yust. I work on privacy at Google. Nope, still feels weird. If you had asked me a couple of years ago what I was going to be introducing myself as a conference, privacy engineer is not the thing that I probably would have told you that was going to happen. So what this talk is about is kind of explaining how I managed to get here from where I was about 2 years ago working as a site reliability engineer at Google. So in this talk, I'm going to cover a few high-level areas. I'm not going to be able to get to all of the areas of SRE, and I don't think you would want me to. But my overall goal here is to walk you through some of the areas that you've heard about in other talks at this conference in SRE. And I want you to think about, as we're going through them, all of the similarities between what I talk about and what you've heard in these other talks. Because as it turns out, the core thing that I want you to take away today is that privacy and SRE are actually really, really, really similar. So let's start with the first of these, automation. There's been a bunch of talks today talking about various ways of automating things. But like, how would automation fit into privacy? Like, oftentimes when people think of privacy, they're thinking like, you know, these are judgment calls. These are human things. This isn't something that like, you know, I could just automate away. Well, if we think about this, if we think about what would automation look like in the context of privacy, let's start from the simple stuff. Like, if I say automation, probably the first place that your mind goes is like, let's write a script or let's write a program or a service that does something for us. And so there are ways to do that with some aspects of privacy, like doing things that are auditing settings to make sure that they match up. But I would say let's go one level deeper. When we talk about automation, what we're really talking about is making things simpler for us. We're trying to reduce the amount of effort that a human has to put in so that we can spend our human time on other things. So one of the ways that we can really automate privacy is by building systems that do the right thing by default. Because as it turns out, you are actually removing a lot of human effort, even if you don't have something that you run and it does the thing that you were going to do, if you just get rid of the need to do that thing. And sometimes that thing is decision making. You all heard Charity's keynote the other day about technical decision making. As it turns out, technical decision making is really hard. And so if you can reduce the times that people have to consciously make decisions or else something will go wrong, then you no longer have that difficulty. So by having folks who think about these problems in advance and figure out, for instance, like what is the right choice for 80% of situations, let's make that be the default, then you've taken that burden off of many other people and you've effectively automated that process for 80% of your engineers without writing a single extra line of code that you might otherwise have written. And because you can do that, you no longer have to spend the same human time on dealing with those decisions that other people were already able to make. You can spend your human time figuring out the things that are actually hard, the things that apply to your specific product rather than the thing that is the right thing to do for all of these products. And so you can focus your time there, which lets you make better decisions on the places where it matters. All right, so let's talk a little bit about culture. Because I think SRE culture is one of the most important aspects of SRE. Now, what do I mean when I say SRE culture? And also, like, how can we apply that into privacy if privacy isn't SRE or vice versa? Well, when I talk about SRE culture, one of the things that I mean is solving challenges once. And we just talked about that in the automation section. You know, solve things once, make decisions once, and when those decisions work out, then be loud about it. You know, tell people, here is what we did, here is why we did it, here are the great results we got, and why you should do this too. That is a core tenet of SRE to me. That is something that I loved when I joined the Google SRE organization, and that I love seeing in other organizations at other companies. Another thing here is going down to the root cause. Don't just solve the problem that is smacking you in the face, because then it's just going to come and smack you in the face again next week. Go the extra levels. Figure out what the actual cause of the problem is. And that may not be a technical thing. It may be a process thing. You know, there are lots of different ways to find root causes for things. But the key is to actually put in the effort to get all the way there and then fix the problem at its source. And that doesn't mean a person. That means a thing. You know, maybe it was that a person made the wrong decision at some point in a process, but that's not because the person was an idiot. That's because there wasn't enough support for them to be able to make the right choice. All right, so now let's move on a little bit to relationship management. Because as it turns out, relationship management is really important. It's especially important in privacy, but it's really important in SRE too. So as it turns out, SRE doesn't work in a vacuum. You know, like, fact of life. If we had SREs doing everything, that might be slightly terrifying. And privacy doesn't either. We work with lots of different teams within our organizations, each of which has a lot of different goals. And though at the end of the day, hopefully, all of our goals come up to one shared goal, which is like to make great products for our users and actually let our users use them. Like, within that, we have a lot of different concerns. And one of the reasons why we have separate teams is because there are a bunch of concerns, and it's hard to hold all of them in your head at once. And so we specialize. But when we specialize, that also tends to mean that we are focusing on a particular part of the problem, and sometimes we lose track of other parts of the problem. And so in order to make sure that we all arrive at the finish line, we have to make sure that we are adequately managing our relationships with other teams. So in order to do that, we need to build collaborative relationships. I know that I have sometimes been on teams that felt like they were sort of actively in conflict with other teams in my organization. And when you have that kind of dynamic, like, you really don't make progress. Or when you do, the progress that you make is super slow. And so building collaborative relationships, if I had to pick one thing that I would say contributes to a team's success in the larger organization, it's having collaborative relationships with the other teams that they need to work with. Now, I can't go into too much detail. Like, you could literally spend a day talking about just building collaborative relationships with other teams. And in fact, I'm pretty sure that the next talk in this room is going to be talking about specifically things like this. So if you're curious about that, stick around. But I can give, you know, a quick tip or two. So one of these is when you're working with a team, especially when you're working with a team in the kind of role that I tend to work in, which is sort of providing guidance to product teams, giving them actionable and constructive feedback is the biggest thing you can do to improve your relationship with that team. Nobody likes hearing, "This is crap." Everybody likes hearing, "This is great, but it could be even better if." And so finding ways to step back for a moment and say, you know, I get that there trying to produce a great product here, and I'm holding that in mind, but I also want to make sure that we meet all of our goals. And finding ways to fit those together and express the feedback that you have about where things need to improve in order to fit your goals in context to theirs gives a huge benefit. All right, so one last item here, which is about evangelism. Now, as it turns out, I already mentioned, you know, SRE and privacy don't work in vacuums, but we also don't work just within our teams. Like, in addition to doing our work and then saying, hey, here's my guidance, we also have to figure out where our talents are best applied. And so, as it turns out, half of the time, the problem is just knowing where the fire is burning. And this isn't just for like production incidents, but figuring out like that this team is working on a project. I don't know about you, but I would much rather figure that out at the design phase than when they come to me and say, hey, we want to push this to prod. We've spent 3 months building this, and it's ready to go out the door. And I look at it and I'm like, your definition of ready is very different from mine. So one of the things that you really want to do is help people understand your goals. Don't just say, your product needs to do X. Instead, help them understand the reasoning behind that statement. Your product needs to do X because, first of all, if it doesn't do X, then the fallout is going to be Y and Z. But also because if you take a look over at this other product, they do X and here are all the benefits it provides them. Here are all the things that they don't have to worry about because they made sure to do this. And so if you get people that understanding of why you are giving them the guidance that you're giving them, not only do they get the benefit for that project, but the next project they do, they'll know that you are concerned about that kind of thing, and they'll come to you and they'll say, I have another one of these problems that, you know, I know we talked about before, and it's not exactly the same, so I don't understand like how I could do it in this case, but I know that this was something that you cared about, so let's talk about it. And so just getting that conversation started is a huge benefit that you only get if people understand why you're giving them the guidance you are, in addition to just what you're telling them to do. All right, so I mentioned before, like, you know, I would definitely prefer to catch issues in the design phase. You all would definitely prefer to catch issues in the design phase, but also, like, everybody prefers to catch issues in the design phase. The earlier you catch an issue, the easier it is to address. Nobody wants to be trying to redesign their product 3 days before launch. And so, one more time, you can only do that if people know to bring their problems to you. You don't want to be just a checkbox on their list before we can get our stuff out to users. You want to be there every step of the way, because providing actionable guidance in the beginning has a huge impact. Providing actionable guidance right before launch, much less so. And finally, in addition to being able to get people to come to you, you can also make it so that people don't come to you. So that when there's the things that are clear cut, once they understand what you care about, they don't need to come to you. They can say, oh, right, this is the right way to do this because it avoids these problems that I already know about. And that way, you can spend your time as the expert in your area, focusing on the problems that are hard for you. You don't have to spend your time answering the basic questions that everybody has, because you already were working with their tech lead, and their tech lead understands what you care about and can give them that direct answer. It helps them, because now they have a quick turnaround time on their questions, They don't have to reach out to you and maybe find time when you're free because you're dealing with 17 other teams that are all trying to get their products to production in time for I/O. And it helps you because then you can be focused on that one project that is really spending a lot of time trying to get their project out in time for I/O. And so being able to distribute the load of your role out to people, not in terms of, I'm lazy, I don't want to do any of the work, I'm going to make somebody else do it for me, but in terms of where it makes sense, having that knowledge sharing and letting people understand what's going on, then you can spend your expert time on the hard problems that only you can solve. And that, in turn, means that you can make better decisions on the really key areas. So, if you only take one thing away from this talk, I hope that you've been thinking about how everything that I've talked about here is a skill that you probably use and want to develop further in your job as an SRE. But it's also the exact same skills that I'm looking for when I want people to work on privacy. And so even if you don't take two things away, because if you take the second thing away, I'd want it to be, you should come talk to me about working for me. If you only take one thing away, it's that you already have the skills to do right for users in your product with regards to privacy, and you are in a great position to be an advocate for privacy for your users, even if you don't work at the privacy team of your company. And so when it comes to doing the right thing, you are in the right spot. And this is something that's bigger than like privacy for Google or privacy for Facebook or any of this. This is about doing the right thing for people. And so if you take one thing away from this talk, please let it be that. You are in the right spot. And let it be yours. All right. So that's the end of my talk. I believe we have a reasonable amount of time for questions. I'm happy to answer them. The one thing that I do ask is, if you have a question about a particular Google product, please catch me after the talk. I'm happy to chat. But for Q&A here, I'd prefer to focus on the stuff that I've been discussing. Thank you.
Do you ever find yourself at a crossroad where technically the way a team is dealing with privacy user data is perfectly fine, but ethically you feel that this is kind of shady, and how do you deal with that conflict?
Right, so ethics. I think that at the end of the day, there's a broad range of things that are technically fine. I think any engineer can deal with like things in an ethical way. And I think that really, like, it's the responsibility of everyone to deal with things in an ethical way. My job is not to be the ethical supervisor. My job is to help people understand users and meet their expectations. Because it's not my job to say to be the ethics police. If we get into that area, then we're back to that adversarial relationship kind of thing, right? And so I fundamentally believe that generally engineers are good people and that they want to do the right thing. It's just a question of making sure that we're all on the same page about what the right thing is and why. Any other questions? All right. I'm happy to chat after the talk. Feel free to find me around. Thank you.